Welcome to The Download here on WGN, WGNradio.com. My name is Justin Coffin. My guest today is playing in the Big 3 tournament this Friday at the United Center. This is Ice Cube's basketball league that pits former NBA stars against each other. It's a half-court, fast-paced, three-on-three league that, well, just plain fun to watch. This year, former NBA stars include former Bulls, Carlos Boozer and Nate Robinson, and Chicago's very own Q, Quentin Richardson. Richardson had a 13-year career in the NBA after starring at DePaul and at Whitney Young High School. He was most recently in the Detroit Pistons organization as a pro scout. And, of course, everybody remembers Quentin Richardson. I don't even know why I have to do an introduction. Quentin Richardson in studio. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
What does it mean for you? Let's start with the Big 3 stuff. So what does it mean for you to get back on the court, first off? Because it's been a couple of years since you've played.
Yeah, for me, I think the whole reason I started to play and wanted to play was obviously I watched the league this past season, the first year of it, and I'm real tight friends with Al Harrington, Rashard Lewis, and guys like that. And I know that, like me, Al has boys now. You know, they didn't get to see him play when he played in the NBA. So for me, that was none of my kids. My stepson got to see me play, but none of my kids got to see me play. So for me, it was important for me to, like, you know, while I'm still at an age where I can still do it a little bit, like, you know, not just be the guy that's always talking about, man, yo, man, used to be a bad boy or something like that. Like, but, you know, really right. Be able to get out there and show them I could play and things like that. And then just to see their reaction. And, like, when I was watching last year, I follow, you know, Al on social media, and to be able to see him go back home and watch the game with his boy, like, that was for me, like, all right, I got to get out there.
It's got to be a tremendous feeling for you to be able to retire from the NBA and get an opportunity to play again against a lot of guys you played against. I mean, is that play into it as well? Like, this idea of getting back out there and doing it with all of the former players that you've played with or against?
That was a huge, huge influence on it, too. I mean, when I spoke to everybody, all of the guys, I mean, obviously, like you say, we all know each other, former players, and it's like a big fraternity. So for us, it's a chance to, you know, be back in that locker room, be one of the guys again, even though it's just for a quick weekend. And like I say, when you guys see it, it's competitive, man. It's competitive, and it's definitely a fun time. And like you say, you get to be back in the locker room, hanging with the guys, and that's always the best part. That's one of the things you miss the most when you know, get moved away from the game. The locker room, camaraderie, the times you get with the guys all the time like that.
Do you like the format? I mean, we had a Cube on last year talking about it, and I got to watch that weekend when it was in Chicago. It's amazing to watch how fast it is and how exciting it is. Do you like, as an NBA former NBA player, do you like the format?
I do. I do like it. I mean, it's like, because the half court aspects means that you're not going to be like just killing yourself out there. But people I definitely underestimated. Last week was the first week, and I was like, whoa, you still got like I trained hard, I worked out hard, and it was like once you really get out there, you get kind of gassed. So it's like it's the pace. It's a 16-second shot clock, so the turnaround is quick. It's only two timeouts per half, so it's coming at you. And you know, I think a lot of the guys that played in it last year, they took it a different approach this year and came in a lot better shape. So I mean, it's going. It's not like people think, like last year, I think people was like, you could just get out there. Like now, it's like, nah, you gotta. Everybody's talking about being in shape and being ready and all of that stuff. So it's really a good league right now.
For you to play at the United Center, what does that mean to you as a Chicago kid at Whitney Young's only a couple blocks from the United Center? What's it mean for you to come back and play in Chicago?
Always, man. Ever since, you know, from college on and throughout my entire career, it's always been. I mean, I'm like you said, I'm a Chicago kid. Grew up watching MJ from the old stadium and build the new one and everything that he did. And so for me, every time I get to go in there, it's a special feeling. And to play, like I play college games there. For me, I love playing there better than Allstate Arena because it's, you know, it's an NBA arena. It's the NBA arena that Mike played in. It's Mike's statue outside, so his jersey hangs. So, I mean, for me, you know, being a homegrown kid, that's whenever we get to go in the United Center and play. And, like, for me to get to take my kids there and show them that, because they know who Michael Jordan is, but they don't really know what it means. So, I mean, just to be able to have them in there and all that, it's a great thing.
You came up, and in Chicago, high school basketball means a ton. I mean, this is one of the bigger cities where that's part of the heartbeat of sport. But you came up at a time when, I mean, to think about the late 90s and in Chicago basketball, you had Kevin Garnett coming out, everything that was happening, mm-hmm. you know, with him and Ronnie Fields and all the players that were coming out of Chicago. You know, when you think about that time, do you look back fondly at your time in high school basketball in Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like my teammate Corey Maggette with the power. I mean, he was the rabbit for me. Like first time I played him was sixth grade, and he was already a 6-footer, athletic, crazy, and so like he was great. So for me, it was like I gotta catch Corey. Like that was my deal for my whole existence all the way up through senior year. It was like, and like for us to still be as great friends as we are, and I tell him all the time, like, and he tell me, like, you don't understand how much you push me. I'm like, dude, you have no clue. Like, you have no clue. Like, you were the measuring stick. I had to catch him. It was about nobody else. And so we all, Chicagoans, we wear it with a badge, man. We know. We go out to the world and to the rest of the country, and we say, yeah, we from Chicago. And we say it with our chest stuck out, and everybody knows. So
you did 2 years at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the players at that time, as I mentioned, Garnett, even some of the young Bulls, Eddie Curry, mm-hmm. others that came out around that time, they went straight to the NBA. There was a different time, and of course, we've had a lot of changes to the rules of what you can do. Why did you go to DePaul? Why didn't you look into going straight to the NBA?
To be honest, I felt like I needed to go to school. I didn't feel like I was ready for the NBA yet, and then choosing DePaul was simply like, I get to stay home and try and change something and do something special. I mean, I knew at the time when I made my decision, Lance and Bobby had already committed. So I knew what we had going on there and what we could possibly continue to grow. So that was my thing at that time. It was like, it was a few things. I knew that I wanted to be close to my family and I wanted them to see me play. So that presented that. Obviously, they could be at every game, every home game. But also, it was like, Kansas was my other final selection. So the difference between them two, it came down for, if I go to Kansas, like Kansas has this great history and da 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 da, and guys come and go and they do their thing, but like it's gonna mean more if I do it here in Chicago. Me being born and raised Chicago public school from grade school to high school, and then just being in the heart of the city, and then the other guys just from Chicago that's going. I knew that would mean more to DePaul and to Chicago than whatever I did at Kansas, because you know, Kansas reels in All-Americans year after year. That was opportunity for me to do something different and still make a bigger mark.
You think about it, too, because DePaul basketball, of course, Chicagoans know it to be iconic. I mean, mm-hmm. Coach Meyer, all the way down. I mean, just so many great players that we have an affinity for. I have an affinity for DePaul Blue Demons. Like, mm-hmm. when they get to the NBA and they go on, you, others, there is a moment you will stop and watch. That may not be the case today, mm-hmm. but to think about the teams that you were on, really kind of the last time that DePaul was playing at a national level. I mean, do you see it that? I mean, do you think about that? The fact that, you know, those teams that you put together kind of were the last time we've seen DePaul play out on a national scale?
I'm waiting for it to turn. I don't understand how it hasn't. Like, and I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about the period of time before we came. It was kind of like that. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how that happens. Like, that's Chicago. We in Chicago. And, I mean, this day and age in particular, it really doesn't matter where you go to school. But I don't understand how people don't look and say, if I could go to Chicago, DePaul and Chicago's a huge media market
right.
and all of this. And you go ball out there, like, you playing in a great conference. You're going to play against all the good teams and everything like that. So you make your own way. You make them look at you. If you go, they got to play. The scouts going to be there to see the Villanovas or the whatever teams
right,
you
right.
play against.
The Big East or whatever that is. Yeah,
yeah
right.
You ball out.
And I wonder, too, because there's a lot been made about Chicago product. Great, tremendous players who still to this day, young kids who are coming out, seniors who are finishing public school, they're not looking at Chicago. They're not looking at U of I. They're not looking at DePaul. They're quick at Duke, Kansas, as you mentioned, other teams where the big stars of college basketball are most of the time coming from Chicago public schools.
Exactly. That's the most disappointing part. Our players translate. First tier, second tier, third tier. Like, even the guys that don't be the All-Americans, like, Tony Allen wasn't McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he's probably a future type Hall of Famer, gonna have his jersey retired in Memphis. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? We have people because what you have to go through in Chicago to be a good player. And then once you become a good player, it's a whole nother thing. Now we gotta see if you're tough. Cause just because you're good don't mean nothing. Cause if we could knock you down and you stay down, then you weak. So, like, the things that you had to go through is different than any other city. It's a few cities similar, but it is none.
Well, how so? Just in the way that the kids have to live their lives?
Yeah, like it's a, like you can go to Baltimore and the D.C., the DMV area. I think they have a similar type of the grit and grind as far as like the toughness from the neighborhoods and what you. It's not just about like, OK, you get good at basketball. Right. You think LeBron came here as a sophomore, played AAU, and he was banging and dunking on everybody. Next thing you know, they undercut him and he broke his wrist. Like, you're not about to just do that here in Chicago and we going to let you get away with it. That's how it goes. It's not right, but.
There's a Chicago mentality.
Yeah, that's a part of the toughness. If you look at the players, it's toughness all throughout. You know what I'm saying? That's our makeup.
You as a, you know, obviously playing in the NBA and having a successful career, 13 years, and then to move to director of player development, to pro scout for the Pistons. When you look at a kid coming out of Chicago, 17, 18 years old, who might be doing the one and done in the NCAA, young kid. Are you looking straight at the skills? Are you looking at this person's got great wingspan? This kid can shoot threes. Yeah. What is it that you're looking for a kid who might be 18 years old who's about to enter the NBA?
Myself personally, I'm all of those different things are, you know, you consider those, but the main things that I consider when I'm looking at players, I look at their demeanor, their approach to the game. Like, do you play hard all the time? Do you care? Like, and then are you tough? Like, that's just me personally. I don't care if you're a point guard to a center. I want to see if you're going to go in there and rebound, if you're scared to stick your face in there where it's dirty yet, or are you going to stay on the outside and you're going to do the easy stuff? Are you going to do the hard things? Are you going to put your body on the line? Are you going to do – those are the things I look at for character traits. I look for tough players and players are going to play hard because – you can have talent, but if you don't play hard all the time, how much does that mean?
Well, you, coming out of college, only 2 years in, you're still a young kid when you go to the NBA. How much of the game is mental? I mean, the grind of 82 games, possibly a playoff run, but this moving from city to city every night, playing with other players, you know, all the things that go off the court. How much of the NBA game, how much of it is mental?
It's probably more mental than anything, because I mean, you as a young kid, you're giving this boatload of money to you. It's a boatload of money, and you got this boatload of time, and you don't have to go to school. You just have basketball. You have practice in the morning, and then you got your whole day. Like four hours are taken up, and then it's like, what do you do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you just spend money, or do you just sit at home and do nothing? So it's like mentally, you have to be prepared. Like, it's so many games. You go from playing 25 to 30 games in college and high school to 82 games. Mentally, do you take them all as serious, or do you just say, it's 82, and you throw? That's the difference between some players who you see locked in all the time and the guys that you see maybe partied the night before or whatever, because it's 82 games. It's like, all right, I ain't got to be on point every game, but like, that's the difference between your stars and your superstars and your legends and your Hall of Famers, the guys that can mentally lock in and say every practice, every possession, every game means so much. And you see that like with a guy like KG. They ask, how can he be mentally as focused? And me as a competitor, I look at him and I say, that's amazing. And I'm like, I feel like I was a high-level competitor and I was still amazed at his level of focus, intensity, and just tenacity the entire game. Like, to be that way, I used to be like, he has to be exhausted after every game.
Right.
Just to be that laser locked in, his eyes, the screaming and everything. And it's not an act. This is who he is. You see him on TNT now. He's still at different times, and he turns into that same person for a second. And you like, he can get you hyped, ready to play.
As somebody who now watches the game, you know, like you're watching on TNT like the rest of us, how much of what we see from the players and the temperament or their reputations or what we might, what we think of them or what the media thinks of them is accurate? I mean, is the game, are they playing characters? Are some guys different than the way that they're, is it pretty much straight ahead?
I think it's hit or miss. I think it just depends on who you're dealing with. I think it's definitely a lot of guys that are very authentic, but then it's guys that are kind of introverted and don't give you as much, and you may be like, the media may misinterpret it or may misfire on what they think, how they think he is and stuff like that. I think Rondo is somebody who's very misunderstood, and he's a different person than everybody kind of, well, not everybody, but the media kind of portrays him as, because he's very beloved by all of his teammates and people that know him, and the media doesn't see him that way. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's a situation that kind of gets misinterpreted, because I think Rondo's a great guy, and people that I know that's close to him, they all think he's a great guy and a great teammate and everything. So I think that's just one of those things. He kind of he doesn't open himself up to the media for whatever reason, so they kind of deal with it the way they do.
I got two more questions for you, right? You played 13 years in the NBA, but you were traded a couple of times. Like you picked up at different places. Let's go to one of those scenarios. So it's early in your career, or maybe you're moving on, from the Clippers to the Suns or whatever it might be. What was that experience like for a young kid? For 2021, they said, you know what? Time to ship out. New locker room. Get over there. I mean, is that old hat for you at this point because you've played in so many different uniforms in your career? Or is there a little bit of fear and anxiety to what's next?
I'll say for me, I'll talk about both scenarios. So, like, when I went from the Clippers to the Suns, that was more of excitement. I want to do this because that was me choosing what team I wanted to go to in free agency. Now, you fast forward to right after that, we have the best record in the NBA. We go 62-20, go to the Western Conference Finals, lose to the Spurs, the eventual champions, and then I get traded from the Suns, which we just had the best season, best team, all of this stuff, and I go to the New York Knicks that are at the bottom of the league. Now, that's a completely different feeling. That's anger, you upset, you know what I'm saying? I had just built the house in Phoenix. I had to turn around and sell that. Like, that might have hurt more than anything, the fact that I had watched this house be built and don't even get to live in it. You just got to, because I was like, I don't want it. I don't want to live in it at all. I'm not about to live in Phoenix in the offseason. I live in Chicago in the offseason. Right. So I'm like, it was just like, so those are like two different types of emotions. Like in LA, I was, you know, it was excitement because it was like, this is the destination you're
making
I chose.
A choice. Yeah. Right,
and
right,
then it's
right.
like, you fast forward, I just signed a 6-year deal. You think you're going to be in Phoenix for 6 years and then they trade you. And this is not on your, you know, you not on your terms. You don't want to be traded, but it's like, I'm the type of kid, I'm doing it. Like, you know, we going. It's not like I'm trying to do something to stop the trade. So it's like that, but it was an anger to it because it's like, this wasn't my choice. This is not what I would want to do. Like, especially going to the worst team and going to New York. And so it was like, those are two different, especially as a young kid, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To deal with that, like I was, what that was after being playing through my whole rookie contract and doing that. So it was like, at that point, you kind of more of an adult. But, I mean, the other thing I can use is, like, year two, me and Darius Miles like this. So when they go to trade him in L.A., and, like, that was, like, complete shock for everybody. Like, nobody thought that if anybody's going to get traded, he's the untouchable. He's a high school phenom that everybody loves him, number one selling jersey. So it was, like, when that happened, it was, like, whoa. Now, that was, like, the first real.
You got understanding of,
like,
the business, right?
Okay, this is a business. Like, how could this happen? Like, and then it's like, so I'm like, they need to trade me, too. Like, you know, I'm mad. And so, like, that was probably, like, that's the 19-year-old kid, 20-year-old kid when it happened. And I'm 20, he's 19, and it's like, wait a minute. How does, like, so you just got to, so he just forget that we all friends and we tight. It's just like, you go, and they bring in this guy. And it's like, nobody has any choice to do anything. So that's why when I see the media say, even about LeBron now, they try and say he should do this or he's wrong. Like, how? Like, you seen what just happened to Austin Rivers? He just got traded. He don't want to leave L.A. and go to Washington. You got to go. So it's like when these guys try and take control of their own destiny, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I mean, that's a great lead into the final question about, I mean, for you to be a college star, 2-year star, but to come up at a time when a lot of players were skipping college and going right to the NBA. And the NBA saying, you know what? They made a deal with the NCAA that says it's got to be 1 year and done. Right. And now you see a ton of kids just doing that. Like the NCAA, the flash right to 2018, that's what they're doing. 1 year, and they know they're going to the NBA. When you think about the idea of college and the idea of the NCAA and almost being a minor league system for the NBA, but everybody, even LeVar Ball and others, even the Big Three in a way, like trying to get into this business – Do you think it's a fair way to treat kids, to treat the players that they have to go to college to go to play professional basketball?
I don't. I don't think, you know, tennis players, golf players and stuff like that, they don't have to. So for me, I never agreed with them putting in the one and done rule anyway. And to me, I think any college coaches and college people would tell you that it's not good for their team and for their school and for their university, because it's like you get a kid that's coming there for 6-7 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, he know I'm like, I would have been going to the NBA right now. The only reason I'm doing this is because I have to. So, like, they probably not going to class all the time. It's probably a struggle. It's like, you as a coach, how can you handle this kid when he's looking at you like, I'm gone after this year. Yeah, right. I'm not vested in this. I'm only vested
in
this.
I'm a free agent in 7 months.
This is a stepping stone.
Right.
That's all this is. This is a stepping stone for me to showcase this. And then it's like, on the other hand, not like the kids are being exploited. Regardless of what you want to say, like, the coaches make all these millions of dollars and the kids are the ones, they are the product. You know what I'm saying? It's no game without them. So, I mean, I won't be surprised if, like, at some point with the G League and everything stepping up, you're going to start seeing kids like, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I can remember back when I was in college, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, my teammate, Rashawn Bruno, he was hilarious. He was the guy that always was the bullhorn with this, like, who's getting royalties? Like, always playing, and he would be joking, but it's like, when I got older and you look back, it's like, that's he was kind of true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really want to do I just want to say I'm coming back to school. But it's like, no, have a press conference. So you had a press conference. So now you're coming back. It's a big decision. Everybody want to know. So, okay, cool. You have the press conference. You know, everybody's there. I announce I'm coming back, right? Cool. 2-3 weeks later, a month later, you go into the basketball offices. They got me at the press conference on the season ticket renewals. Q's coming back. Are you? That's cha-ching. And you don't think about that until, you know, like, Rashawn is joking and like, what is going on? Like, and, you know, he's joking, but that's like for real money that's being made just off that. And the whole marketing thing was used, like, Q's coming back.
Q's coming back. No, absolutely.
So, like, that's to me, that's how I feel about that.
I think the only solace in the whole thing is that, for me, a DePaul Blue Demons fan, right, that I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, and I'm not saying that all in any sort of contrast to what you're saying, but the way that it's worked out, at least in your career, I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, at the end of the day, if you go play for the Knicks, I'm going to watch the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my own personal practices, when I have a video game, I want Q Richardson on my team, right? The idea of being a fan of the DePaul Blue Demons, but really a fan of Quentin Richardson. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, but so I think that you need to know that, as well, as much as they marketed and made money off of you, that the fans' allegiance is to you, not necessarily to that school.
And I don't want to say it like I think it was done out of malice.
No,
I just think just, you know, the marketing department, like, hey, we, you know, just being smart and doing a good job. Like, hey, let's use this. I don't think, like I said, I don't, because if I thought that, I would have spoke on that in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't have any ill feelings toward, you know, DePaul or my time there or anything. I love it. And I'm still cool with everybody there. So I'm just saying that to say that even though I don't feel like that's malice or anything, like, it still was, that's still a fact that it happened. And I don't think anybody was trying to use me or do anything like that, but it was just like, that's still money going in the bank off of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate all of my fans and all of the love I get, because I definitely know, you know what I'm saying, what it means to the fans, and like, they, I do. I still get people that follow me and have DePaul pictures, not any other team. Like,
that's
literally
amazing.
Like, and I know when I go play in the Big Three, it'll be people there with a picture from DePaul or something, and it won't just be about whatever team. I know that.
Right.
And so I definitely appreciate that.
Well, the Big Three is at the United Center on Friday. Quentin Richardson will be playing on the Power.
So, team Power.
And he's a former Dolphin, former Blue Demon, a former NBA player, and, of course, first and foremost, a Chicagoan. Quentin Richardson,
yes,
a pleasure to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Definitely. You see the Bears tattoo right there.
That's Chicago. It. There you go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Through and through.